few years ago, we lived in a very small house with attic. And every time a semi-trailer, a heavy truck, or train passes by, our house would shake. Feels like earthquake or tremor was shaking the house. And you would not like that horrible experience when you're sleeping, would you? So when you choose a house, make sure you choose a house with strong foundation. And spiritually speaking, we need to make sure that the foundation of our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior is strong and stable. No one knows. Christ may return in the next moment, or any time. It could be our time to leave this earth. How do you interpret what Apostle Paul mentioned in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 to 22? Let's read together. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together, rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. What did Apostle Paul imply? What did he imply when he mentioned that Christians, God's people, believers in his household are being built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets? The foundations of the apostles and the prophets points to the supplementary exposition or clarification of the scripture or Christ's teaching or message from God that we may not readily understand. We Christians, we believers, we are called God's building, God's temple. And our Lord Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. All parts of the building, we are built on the foundation in Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ. All parts are eternally secured. Are you part of God's temple? Are you part of God's building? Are you eternally secured? Do you have that assurance in your heart? No doubt in your mind. Later, Apostle Paul mentioned in the same book, Ephesians, in chapter 4, verse 11 to 13, he said, Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for work of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The result of being involved in the ministry is maturity. Without involvement in the ministry, there's nothing we can do to grow mature. And since Christ returned to heaven and prepared a place for its believer, a mansion for its one, the work in his kingdom should continue. So he gave church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Why? To equip, to help us understand how we may serve the Lord in his kingdom, in his vineyard. So service in the kingdom of God, it helps us. We continue until we reach that unity in our faith. What does that mean? Meaning, faith of one, faith of another may not be exact. Faith in knowledge, faith, unity in knowledge of Christ. Not everyone has the same understanding about Jesus Christ. So involvement in serving the kingdom of God, it helps us. It amplifies our spiritual maturity that we may grow. Pray that you may get involved in the ministry, in church setting or even outside church setting. Here is a personal reflection. Why should we serve the kingdom of God? Not just about maturity. It's also our expression of faith in Christ. Since we believe in Christ, we serve. It's like, remember, children, do you believe that your father and your mother are really your parents? Do you believe that? Do you know that they are your parents' mother? Was it because it is in your birth certificate, or somebody told you that they are? But you truly believe, do you truly believe that they are your parents? Or do you just keep secret that you were adopted? That stuff, right? Now, if you truly believe, adopted or not, that your parents are your parents, or mother and father, what do? You participate, right? It's not because they told you to participate in that household chore. It is because you want to express your faith in them that they are your parents and you respect them. The same is true with the Lord. If we can see our father and our mother with naked eyes, and we say, Father, Mother, and yet we ignore them. How do you know? How do you say that you respect your God whom you cannot see, whom you cannot hear very audibly, whom you cannot touch, whom you cannot embrace? We praise God for our assurance to live with Him in heaven. We thank Him, and to be involved in the ministry, that is our expression of hope to be with Him forever. We thank Him of many good things. It is our way of thanking Him. Similar as to children, we thank our parents taking care of us when we did not know anything, when we were infants. They took care of us. When we were helpless, they cared for us. So we thank them even when they did not elaborate or not enumerated the things that they have done. We just believe they cared for us. We thank God for the many good things He has done in our lives. That is why we serve Him. We want to grow mature spiritually too. We want to encourage one another also. We do not want a brother or a sister to be left behind. We want to see them in heaven. This is why we participate in God's vineyard, God's kingdom. And Christ Jesus is the chief cornerstone, the foundation of our faith. We are a significant part of the kingdom of God built for Christ Jesus our Lord. If you are part in God's kingdom, you cannot help but to participate in His ministry. Let's read again verse 10 and 11. By the grace God has given me, I lay the foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it, but each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul and his mission team, they started the church in Corinth, and he laid the foundation of their faith in Jesus Christ, And Apollos and Peter and other preachers may have come to the church in Corinth and helped the church grow spiritually. We can readily observe this common situation among churches. Normally, missionaries would start or maybe start preparing the place, or they may start a church, or a church planter starts a church. Then after that, when the church is started, they do not pastor the church. They would go somewhere else and start again another work, and that is that what they do. After a few years, they would go to another place. There are a group of denominations that they would send church planters after 4 years. Yes, after 4 years, they would take that church planter to go to another place, something like that. As if like the church, they can start a church in 4 years. That is how they think. But truly, a church planter may choose to continue and serve or as pastor of the church. There are those situations. Not all church planters would just leave the church. For example, the Maples Evangelical Church, how many pastors have pastored this church ever since 1991? How many do you know? Or only me? you only know me as the pastor of the church. Apostle Paul was called as missionary. He was called as church planter. He was not called a pastor. That was why he keep on moving to another place. So you can easily observe that in the Bible, in the book of Acts particularly, after starting a church in one place, they would go to another place and then to another place, then visit and return. He did not stay in just one church because he was a church planter or missionary. So don't blame when pastors would go to another church, because maybe they are not called as pastors, maybe they are called as church planters. Many Christian churches have faster turnover of pastors. There are other denominations, they would transfer one pastor to another church, and then they would go around the district, a circuit, every 4 years. That's how they, I don't know why they do that, but it's the decisions of their denomination. But some pastor may resign. Maybe they are called only for a few years to be a pastor. I don't know. Or they may transfer, or maybe retire. So when a pastor is gone, a new pastor comes, but some church attendees cannot help but they compare the previous pastor, former pastor, to the current pastor. So when they vocally express their appreciation to the former pastor or previous pastor more than the current pastor, to their new pastor, their loyalty belongs to the previous pastor, right? Loyalty to pastors is appreciated, but it practically proves only those who have their loyalty to pastors only, even when the pastor is gone, they prove that they are not yet mature in their spiritual life. They're still infant in their spiritual life. Really? Loyalty to humans will be shaken. It will be shaken. This is why Christ is our foundation. No other foundation should be Christ. We will not be shaken if our loyalty is given to Christ alone, the foundation of our spiritual life. So whoever pastor that may pastor the church, make sure that your loyalty belongs to Christ alone, not to the pastor. We have been spiritually born again in Christ. Are you? born again in Christ, or you are born again in the pastor. No, not in any human being. Like Apostle Paul, pastors and church leaders build on Christ as our foundation, the foundation of our faith. And for us to spiritually grow mature in unity of our faith in knowledge in Christ, it is best for all of us to have our loyalty in Christ and to harmoniously involve in the ministry. Why? Pertaining to Christ, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 16. Let's read together. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or power or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. All things have been created through him and for him. For in him all things were created. Keep that in mind. Everyone is included. All Christians, and even those who are not religious yet. What is the purpose of all things, visible and invisible, in heaven and on earth? Why all things were created? It's for in Christ, through him, and for him. In him, through him, and for him. For Christ. Through Christ. In Christ. Now, building without quality foundation collapsed during strong earthquake. And we observe that. We who come from Baguio City, we know that there was strong earthquake in Baguio City. There's this beautiful building without not so good foundation. It's just collapse, like Jenga game. And it's not the beauty, it's the foundation that counts the most during earthquake. And Christians are also shaken. We are shaken sometimes when we have struggles, when we have problems, when we have concerns. How do we grow strong in our faith in Christ? One, involvement in the kingdom of God. It helps us grow strong. Because the more we are involved, the more we experience the Holy Spirit. And the more we experience the Holy Spirit, the more we grow stronger in our faith. We can only get involved with enthusiasm in the ministry if the Holy Spirit is at work in us. So together, let us build for quality. Build for quality. Let's read again verse 12 and 13. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stone, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. There is one thing that never said enough. What is it? What is it? What one thing that never said enough? Fire. Fire is useful, but never said enough. We can easily observe, practically observe, numerous wildfire destroys not just the forest, but also residential areas. You might have seen pictures of the cause or the destruction of wildfire in Hawaii or somewhere in Canada. They are terrible proofs that fire is a destructive element. And biblically, fire will be used to test the quality of every person's work, whether it survives or not. We will find out. Now, when you share the gospel, and the person you have shared the gospel with, you will meet him in heaven, then your work is counted, rewarded. But when you share the gospel and the person did not believe, what is that? That person would go be destroyed by fire. What do you think? How do you seriously consider this biblical warning in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 to 27? If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Deliberate sinning is practical sign of unbelief. So it's not verbal declaration. It's not when we say, I am a Christian, that does not assure us as a Christian or genuine believer of Christ. It's our behavior, it's our attitude that should prove practically our faith in Christ, not just our words. Saying, confessing that we believe in Christ, that may be a start, but not an assurance. When we are transformed into godly righteousness, our behavior, our attitude should prove that. Is it possible that believers continue to sin? New believers continue to sin? It is possible that we continue to sin. Yes, it is possible that new believer continue to commit sin if his spiritual life or faith in Christ is still at that infancy stage, not yet mature, not mature just yet. So when we grow mature, we know which one is sin. But to deliberately keep on sinning when we already know that it is sin, such is deliberate rebellion against God. But Pastor, there are times when I just cannot help but to commit sin or something like that. Then when you realize that you are doing something against God, then ask the Lord, Lord, take this sin away. It keeps on pressuring me. It keeps on influencing me. Take them away, Lord. Take them away. And fill me with your Holy Spirit. Whenever you sense that temptation, ask the Lord. The Lord may be saying, the sin is still has a grip on you, maybe trying to manipulate you. So when that sin comes, keep asking the Lord until you sense that you are freed. Even when you are freed, from time to time the Lord would let us know that. So keep on asking, Lord, don't let this happen again. Please, please, please. The Lord is faithful. He would love that. He would love to hear us asking his help to take those sins away. Don't try to run away from that sin because you cannot. The nature, our human nature is sinful. Our inclination is sinful. That's our tendency. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can take those sins away from us. And that would be wonderful because you will be thankful to the Lord when you sense that sin can no longer influence you. There was this TV show. There was this mother who was very influential. And she wanted her son to pass that exam. And then she used her influence and maybe money, I don't know, to acquire the questionnaire and exam and gave them to her son. Her son, he did not know about that. So the mother said, review this, answer that question. Make sure you answer everything. When The exam came. Her son got perfect score in the exam. But he felt guilty. Why? Because the exam that, the questionnaire that his mother gave him was exactly the same as the questionnaires in the exam. So he felt guilty. He told his teacher, this is the reason I have perfect score in the exam. My mother gave me the questionnaire. And then there was investigation, and his mother admitted to the investigator how she acquired the exam questionnaires. What happened next? There was appropriate punishment that was administered accordingly. Many people assume that since God is love, God loves me, God loves everything I do. So they think that God loves whatever they do, so they do whatever they want to do. But it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 to 10, God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled, and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might when the day comes to be glorified in his people, holy people, to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you, because you believe our testimony to you. Can you go back to verse 8, please? Read again. He will punish those who do not know God. He will punish those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Are you obedient to the gospel of Christ? Do you believe that this is true? Do you believe that this word, this warning is true? Make sure that your spiritual life is genuinely founded in Christ. Make sure that you share the gospel of Christ. You receive the gospel of Christ. It's not only for you. You are to share what you receive, the gospel of Christ. When you share the gospel of Christ, make sure you say, God is love. Make sure you say, God is just. God is love, but he also is just. He loves us that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, so that anyone who believes in him may have eternal life. But God is just. He will punish every sin. He has already taken all our sins. But only we are freed of sin if we believe that the Lord had taken all our sins and crucified them with Christ. At the judgment day, every believer, each Christian who trusted Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, we all enter heaven. We receive reward according to how we obey the gospel of Christ. This is why we are encouraging every one of us to be involved. Get involved. Pray for opportunity that you may share the gospel of Christ. Not because you are to enter heaven. No, that's not the reason. For you to receive reward. During awarding times, everyone is involved, but only few are given awards. But in heaven, everyone who are involved will be given rewards. Make sure also that what you do, what you build, Build for quality, and you will be rewarded. Let's read again verse 14 and 15. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Why is it that when we are involved in the ministry, we lose? That is when we use our human effort. The only involvement that God would reward is involvement using our spiritual gift, depending on the Holy Spirit, inspired by the Holy Spirit. So there's enthusiasm. Now, when there is frustration and disappointment and there's confusion and complaint when you are involved, that shows that your involvement will suffer loss. It will not be rewarded. The practical proof that our involvement is how minimal or great our involvement is, the practical proof is that we sense that joyful peace in us. That joyful peace also translated as enthusiasm. Enthusiasm comes from the word enthusia, which means possessed by God. Entheos, possessed by God. It comes from the word, two words, Greek words, en, and theos, God, with God, or possessed by God. So when we are possessed by God, that is when our involvement is rewarded. And you would like that because there's enthusiasm. You don't like involvement with complaining like, this is tough, I don't like this, I don't like that. When you sense that, stop. Don't proceed. Instead, pray, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. The Lord had been very vocal about rewards. The apostles of Christ, they were not embarrassed about preaching about rewards. And of course, if our motivation of obeying the Lord is just the reward we may receive, there is more pressure for us, on us, to do something. But if by inspiration of the Holy Spirit we obey, we are not anxious about rewards. So, why did the Lord teach reward if it's not motivation for obedience? Everything we do, we look forward to the result. When you are, like for example, you are good in painting, if you are painting, what are you looking forward? You look forward to what you would painting. What happened to that painting? If you are cooking, what do you look forward? You are looking forward to the delicious food you are going to eat, something like that. Why do you go to work, employees? You look forward to that day when you receive your salary. It's not just because you love the work. You love the work, that's better. But you also look forward to that. Oh, it's end of the month, I would receive my salary, something like that. Students, why do you study hard? I love studying. No, not just that. You look forward to that degree you may complete after all. Spiritually, how could we be enthusiastic in our spiritual journey? To be certain that reward awaits us, we have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Make sure, pray always. It would be spontaneous to be involved when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead you when you sense that guilt feeling like, I was not involved yet. Maybe the Holy Spirit is telling you something. So ask the Lord, Lord, lead me. What should I do? Who are the people I should approach to tell me what to do? Ask. Don't just ask anybody else. It's not because it's your friend, then ask, what should I do? Maybe he can help, but it could mislead. Instead, pray, what should I do? I know of a student who went to school wasn't anxious whether to get higher grades or just passing grade. He just wanted to study. He studied hard, enjoyed the life as a student, go to the library, read his notes. If I pass, I pass. If I get high grade, I get high grades. That was how he approached his studies, and he completed his bachelor's and had few master's degrees. Then he enrolled in doctoral degree. That's when he realized that grades are very significant after all. Fortunately, his grades are sufficient on his for his admission into doctoral studies. That said student did not dream of taking doctoral studies. At first, he just want to study. He just want to learn, that's all. Moreover, his doctoral studies, they were very essential to his job. What does that mean? The Lord gives you that work, and every part of that activity you have done will be part of the thing he had already prepared for you, designed for you. Many students go to school, they want to go and acquire certificates. Why? Because they need that certificate to apply for a job. You go to the Philippines in Ricto. They have been selling certificates there. You can have if you want certificates. But that's not it. When certificates become the main reason of studying, there's more pressure to students. Hey, parents, don't say, I want you to have honor in your class. And you are giving pressure to your children. That's not very good. That is not very helpful. Instead, advise them to love their studies. Love your studies. Love what you do. And it will follow. If you love your studies, maybe one day you will have good grades. Diploma should certify that student has learned well. Now, you have that certificate at home hanging. I have that certificate hanging. What is it? What does it say? What did I learn? If you recall what you've learned, is it really? Many people have certificates, but they are working in another job. Stories from the Philippines, they come here, like they have certificates, they are medical doctors in the Philippines, but they are working in the entry-level jobs. There are also lawyers back somewhere in their country of origin, and they come here, they work in the entry-level job. Why is that? I don't know, but pray that you would love what you do. It's not about certificate. It's about how you love what you do. Someone published in social media about life on earth that science says there are four elements that you need. I suppose yourselves you have already received that on your social media. What are the four elements that you need to live, to survive this earth? Water, food, light, and air. If you have those things, you survive. Truly, science is right. Right? How is that? Really? Jesus Christ says, I am the living water. Water. He said, I am the bread of life. We need bread, food. He said, I am the light of the world. And he is the creator who gave us the breath of life. We need those things. We need air. We need Jesus Christ to survive, not just this practical world, but also in the spiritual world. Together, let's reflect on what it warned in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 to 28. Just as people are destined to die once, and after that face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sin of many. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Anytime sooner, Christ may return. We celebrate the Lord's Supper every first Sunday of the month to remember the sacrificial death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross and look forward to that day, to his imminent return. He's coming again. We celebrate the Lord's Supper as a reminder also for us to evaluate our faith in him. Make sure that your spiritual life is genuinely founded in Christ. Christ, our Lord, was crucified for believers to have eternal life. Do you believe that the Lord took all your sins and crucified them with Jesus Christ? Do you have that without any doubt? Do you believe that the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross, poured on the cross, washed away all our sins? Do you believe that? The Lord's Supper, the elements, the Lord's Supper, the bread, represents the body of Christ punished on the cross, together with the body of Christ, our sins were crucified. Do you believe that? The cup that we drink represents the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. The blood of Jesus washed away all our sins. Do you believe that? One more time. Let's recommit our faith in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us, sending your Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross, taking our sins and crucified them with him. His blood shed on the cross washed away our sins. Help us believe that strongly. Fill us now with your Holy Spirit. And help us obey you according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As our church leader would come and distribute the elements, take this time and reflect on your eternal life and ask the Lord to give you strong assurance of your eternal life.